Welcome back to the Anchor Drop Podcast. I'm Joe, and I'm here with Rick. Morning, Rick.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everybody.
And we are moving our way through Genesis. We've covered the first two verses and then days 1, 2, and 3. And now we're ready for day 4. Rick's going to teach us all about day 4. But Rick, before we get into Genesis 1:14-19, can you give us a little context, a little on-ramp here?
Well, it's been pretty exciting going through the first 3 days. We're going into the fourth day of creation now, and we had seen a pattern developing in which on the first 3 days, God had created by his command, and then he would divide things, and then he would name them. That's kind of what he did on the first 3 days. And now we move into an additional thing where he does the same pattern in day 4, mm-hmm. but he also adds evaluation and discussion about what he's doing. So, yeah, so that's kind of the brief context there.
All right. I'll read through the whole thing, and then we'll also go back and then kind of read it verse by verse.
All right.
All right, Genesis 1:14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. All right, jumping back to 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." What do you got for us, Rick?
Well, we have here celestial bodies that are created to serve very specific functions. It says it separates day from night to mark signs, seasons, days, and years. So it's bringing in a very intricate time schedule and a scheduling that initially when you see that, you don't realize how complex it is. But everything is now, the order of everything, the underlying order and sequence of things is being established in God's created universe. And on top of that, he's also bringing into play an interesting point, which is going to be this notion of signs or symbols, and also that these things are going to represent key markers for Israel. Mm-hmm. Eventually, when Israel comes into play and is separated as a nation, many of their holidays are all dependent on celestial seasons. I mean, the seasons, in fact, the Jewish people take the seasons as being all of the holidays that follow.
That's right.
That follow all of the, the Feast of Harvest, etc. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Pentecost, all of these feasts had particular festivals in line with celestial signs and seasons. So that's an interesting thing that we see as a spinoff from there. And let's just go back to verse 1 here. And then it says to divide the night from the day, let them be for signs. Okay, separating out the night from the day. I think that's an important thing in the sense that now it talks about ruling, that the sun is going to rule the day and the moon will rule the night. And it's very interesting because now we have a very specific order of things, and the glory of the day is very significant. I mean, when we face sunlight, I mean, that daytime, if you get too much of it, you get burned, that type of thing. So the sun is an important part of this whole order that is being brought into play here. And we have this this separation of day and night. And then there's for signs of seasons and years. Okay, so we have the season, the establishment of seasons coming in. And we also have this whole notion of now day and night and how each one has its particular purpose within wherever you're at in relation to the sun or the moon.
That's right. Yeah, I wanted to go back to the seasons thing that you mentioned, that we read seasons here and we tend to think winter, spring, summer, fall, mm-hmm. which certainly you know, the sun and the moon and the stars, mark those out. If you're, you know, mm-hmm. trying to determine when the seasons are, you can look at the stars and figure that out from that. But when, as you said, for Israel, when they would have read this, when Moses was writing this and giving it to the children of Israel during the Exodus or whenever at the end of his life, they would have read that word seasons and thought of festivals, feast times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, more to the point of what Genesis 1 hears after is the sun, moon, and stars tell you when to worship, when to feast, when to celebrate together, when to party. And it's all, this is designed for the people of God to relate properly to God. And we've seen that in other, excuse me, in other aspects of the creation, is that it is set up for the purposes for which God made it for, which at the heart of that is so that God can relate to man. Heaven and earth are separate, but there is a way to pass, a way to pass between. There's a way that that God can come down and be among men. And then he's created the sun, moon, and stars so that he can, so that he'll later devise a system of worship and have Israel worship according to the particular way that he has set forth within the sun, moon, and stars. So that's a big one.
Yeah. And in particular, you've got Rosh Hashanah, Passover, Shavuot, Sukkot, Hanukkah, Purim, Yom Kippur. All of these are tied to the lunar cycle. So there's, it's very right. significant. And you're right. It's that God was determining how they would celebrate. It's all tied to using the lunar cycle, and that is going to be the thing that marks. And it's consistent. The Jews have a calendar that marks the days from what they believe to be the day of creation. So it's a very interesting approach, but definitely used by the Jews. And and that's what all their festivals are designed after, is the seasons set forth here in Genesis.
That's right. We don't really look at the stars in this way, especially in the city. We hardly look at the sun, moon, and stars at all. Because it's just hard to see. But also, we don't need to look at the stars to figure out what date it is. When is harvest time? You know, we don't need to look at the stars to determine what time it is, because you can determine that from the stars during the night, and of course the sun during the day, if you know how to capture shadow, if you're not even sure what direction you're oriented. So there are ways to utilize the sun, moon, and stars. Never even thought much about this, and you know, had enjoyed the night sky plenty as a child, but never learned about the intricacies of how it worked until a few years ago. Becca taught a class for nature study for kids at Hammersmith, just called the night sky. This was not astronomy. We're not learning the details of the solar system and all that. We're learning about how to read the sky when you look up at night, the constellations, the movement of the sun, the moon, everything. And there is so much there to learn. And it was just a blast. And this was what everybody did. Every night, what are you doing at night? You're looking up at the sun, moon, and stars and figuring out what's coming next.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing, the order of everything, and how everything cycles, is incredible. And then basically it's set in a very consistent time fashion. I mean, so everything is in lockstep, and it does cycles that basically can be timed, and that type of thing is incredibly amazing how that's laid out. Another thing that we had discussed, that in the first 3 days God named things, and there's an interesting, they call it a polemic, that he did not name the sun and the moon, as it's kind of like, because foreign entities would have been talking about the sun god and the moon god and that type of thing. And so it's almost like a polemic against that type of ancient mythological kind of religious belief systems that developed eventually.
Okay, going on to verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so.
Yeah, I think that number one, it's certainly, in terms of appreciating art and beauty, that's one of the things that brings forth beauty of God's creation, is just the immense beauty of the stars. But they're also placed there very, very specifically for signs. I mean, the North Star, and many navigators on ships and boats use the stars for their direction. The North Star, you know, you can use that still today as one of your guides to find the direction that you want to move in, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So there's an amazing amount of design in all of these things that have taken place. He tells you what he's done, but you don't realize we're just discovering the design behind all of these things and what's being discovered, and certainly science has revealed a lot of things in the universe. It's incredible, because even the certain types of things that get emitted from planets that now we can detect and we can analyze. You can tell whether there's water on these planets, whether there's, you know, the different types of elements that are on the planet. So right. It's incredible what is being discovered today. But what God did, he did so much on this one day in terms of doing this this aspect of creation.
And again, I think it's almost so obvious that you wouldn't think it needs to be stated, but I think it's important, and that's why it's included here in verse 15, is that the sun, moon, and stars are up there to give light to the earth so that God turned on the lights. He's making, again, creation is oriented towards the purposes of God and the meaning of man's existence on earth. And one of the things people need in order to move around and act on the earth is light. We all put, you know, electric lights in our house, candles, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, how do I light up, you know, light up the places I need, where I need to see. And God, in his glory and love for mankind, put a giant light bulb up in the sky every day. And
yeah.
then when we need a rest, it goes, you know, goes behind the earth and everything gets dark, but not so dark that you can't see. There's just enough light from the sun and the moon that it's still pleasant and safe.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if you had no sun.
Oh man.
And you had no moon to reflect the sunlight. Okay. So now all you would have is starlight day and night. What would you eat? How would you plant things? What would you see? I mean, it would be certainly, and then just trying to find the stuff to build a fire, right?
Right.
I mean, everything would be so complicated, but the sunlight is just an incredible blessing to everything that we do.
That's right. All right. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. We're locating our place in the notes here.
Yeah, so here you see that the rule of the day belongs to the sun. The lesser is going to be to the night. There's going to be obviously the lesser light is the moon, and
yep.
And so we have, and then he made the stars also. So now we have all three of these different groupings, and certainly now he's describing and he's laying them out for us. He's not naming them necessarily, but he is definitely, you know, creating them and laying out their purposes. I mean, the sun is going to be the thing that basically our daylight and our daytime is going to be the time that we work. Our nighttime is going to be the time that we rest. Okay. And so, very, very important aspect to what we do in our lives.
And I think this is the place where the idea of rulership gets brought in that the sun is ruling the day and the moon is ruling the night. And this is something I think if you trace it out, you see throughout scripture is the sun, moon, and stars are used as sort of metaphors for rulers on the earth, even when it talks about the sun, moon, and stars falling from the sky. Yes, that can be a literal event, but it also represents the created order, the structure of authority within the world falling apart. If all the nations and kings are losing their power and anarchy is coming to the earth, that's like the sun, moon, and stars falling from the skies. He puts this idea of rulership right up into the sky above us to remind us of what, you know, what he's doing on the earth even.
Yeah. And the other thing that's important is God is doing this. I mean, it's an argument for the existence of God, the fact that we have the creation, but here it's basically, we know that God is in charge of all of this and put it in place. And so it's another argument for the existence of God, just having these things there and the order in which you see the design. That's that whole argument from design idea, is that basically, I mean, there's, you know, there's all kinds of sayings that if the moon was placed like 100 miles further out, yeah, we wouldn't exist. If it was, I mean, there's just so many things in terms of the placement of all these things and the way, the order that he established are absolutely essential and critical to just life on earth. And just the placement of these things, where they're at and where they spin and how they spin, the speed that they spin, everything. I mean, our life on earth is totally determined by those, by the placement of those, and basically the sun ruling and the moon ruling, right? Uh-huh. I mean, those things, you know, we don't realize how much goes into this notion of ruling, but basically, the scientific forces, you know, notions of gravity and all of these things have a lot to do with the placement of all of these the sun, moon, and the stars. So it's just an amazing thing.
Yeah, and the one of the things that jumps out at me here is that this is all very simple man-oriented language, like you know, an atheist astronomer. If you said, well, they asked you what the sun is, and you said, well, it's a light in the sky so that we can see, they would laugh, you know, they would laugh at you and say, no, it's a burning ball of fire in the sky. The sun doesn't care whether you see or not. It's not that, you know, it's the result of an explosion 13.7 billion years ago or whatever. And it has nothing to do with whether you can see or not. That just happens to be something that comes out of it. But in God's created order, the sun is the sun, you know, whatever it is, 9.3 trillion miles away or whatever, it was put there in that place so that it can provide light on the earth. And it boggles the mind that it's, you know, 9.3 trillion miles away. It takes what, you know, 8 minutes for the light to get from the sun to the earth. And then we look further into the night sky with telescopes and you see galaxies, and then this the ultra deep field where you have hundreds and thousands of galaxies, you know, in just one little pocket of the sky. And then you go back to Genesis and you read the simple language that's created to bring light on the earth. And there's I think it should inspire awe in us that God created something that thousands of years ago, without knowing how it worked, somebody could look up at the sky and go, cool, we got light. And now we can look deep, deep, deep into space and see things we never thought possible to see. And it was still put there to give light on the earth. And it's like God in his vastness didn't hang a light bulb from the blue sky. He hung the sun trillions of miles away, but still with that same purpose to give light on the earth. There's a vastness of the universe that's still oriented in its purpose towards man and towards God's purposes on earth. And it inspires awe at just the greatness of God, the size of Yahweh, that to him, that 9.3 trillion miles or the however many, you know, light years, the, you know, 100,000 light years the galaxy is across or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever, all of those are very small figures to God. It's just for him, it's just a light bulb. You know, it's a light bulb on the ceiling. For us, it's billions and trillions of light years and miles away and miles across. And yet it was still created for our purposes. And it's so tiny to him. As vast as the universe is, it's nothing to God. He is so much bigger than that.
Yeah, it is a beautiful thing. Now, I was looking for, because the discussion came up in one of our meetings about chiastic structures. Uh-huh. And there is, you know, and I looked up chiastic structure, and there's a chiastic structure that exists in verses 14 through 19.
Oh, nice.
Okay, and the basically, it starts off with God commands the lights and the firmament to separate from the night. Then the purpose of the, then it gives us the purpose is in 14b. 15, it's lights are placed in the firmament to give light upon the earth. Then 16, the creation of two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night to rule the night. That's kind of the central focus right there.
Right.
Is basically the earth and the moon. And that is the most significant thing for mankind. That's what we're going to be living with and see it will have the most impact on us. Uh-huh. But I think you're right. The whole establishment of great design and great balance and the intricacies and the levels of design that are in it. And God can just say, I did this and this, but you don't realize when he says something, there's a lot more to what he says than what just the simple, he's stating the fact, but the reality of it is that it's so much deeper.
Yeah.
And the design of God doing all of this thing is just incredible. So you're right. You know, we have to have the sense of awe and appreciation for all that he did. And especially focusing on mankind's needs. So he's designing the earth for mankind, putting the sun and the moon in place. And it's really for our benefit because the sun is going to give us life. It's going to give us light, vitamin D, all the things that come from light. Okay. And then you have the moon that is going to be used as the thing that times their festivals and how we're going to celebrate and just the way in which all those things now are used in their calendars to identify the times and the seasons of when celebrations will take place to honor the relationship between God and his people.
All right. We just have a couple verses left here. I'll read 18 and 19. Or did we do 17?
Yeah.
And verse 18, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
Yeah, it's almost, it's doing a repeat, so to speak. To give light upon the earth. Initially, he had said that it'd be separating the night from the day. He placed in verse 15, lights were placed in the firmament to give light upon the earth. So it's almost like the chiasm is building up and then it comes back down and it's almost in reverse order, but it's doing the same thing. It's mentioning the purpose of the light again, which was stated in 14, verse 14. And so we have that restated here, and it's almost in a poetic form, but it tells you that the design, if this chiasm is true, which I believe it is, then God's design is happening in the universe, but his design is happening in the poetic structure and the way in which he's communicating to it. There's design at every level, and it's just like, it just boggles the mind when you start to appreciate how amazing this God is that we serve.
Yeah, this also calls to mind back on day one when God created light. Mm-hmm. and verse four, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Mm-hmm. There was a division from light, there were light and darkness in day one, and now on day four the sun takes on the purpose of the sun and moon and stars take on the purpose of dividing light from darkness. And so now God is completing or filling the universe in a way that it wasn't full on day four. There was still a division between light and darkness and ability to have day and night. But now on day four, we actually see the sun taking on that role of dividing light and darkness.
Yeah. And not all of that. Now this is where now the earth starts to be filled with all the things that God formed.
That's right. Right?
And, mm-hmm. and so this is, I think another aspect of that is that now, he creates an environment and now he's going to fill that environment. Yep. And also the key operating things that will function to keep this creation running and in order.
Yep. And then when you mentioned this at the beginning and God saw that it was good, we have that evaluation, command, divide, mm-hmm. name, evaluate.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So I think that, and cause a lot of people will, you know, this whole notion that God intended things to be good. It's man's sin that brought things down. You know, I mean, it was, everything was at a level that was pristine and ideal for man's existence.
Uh-huh.
But it's sin. I mean, even it's believed that after Adam and Eve sinned, you have the whole animals becoming vicious and mean and that kind of thing. So it was a beautiful thing to begin with, intended to be beautiful, but sin caused the degradation of all of this.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to evening and morning and the end of the fourth day. Thank you, Rick. We'll look forward to hearing more on Sunday.
Amen.